Yo, what up? This is D Knight, and you're listening to the Pardon the Interaction podcast. Holy Fork and Shirt Balls, Batman. What a crazy week that was. Every single week, I'm like, oh man, we've never seen a week like that. And then it's immediately followed by a week where we've never seen anything like that. But before we get to that crazy insanity, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Sheets and Giggles. My man, Colin D. McIntosh, the CEO, sent us some of the most fantastic, incredibly soft sheets on planet Earth. Not only are they soft and delightfully comfortable, but they're also sustainably made from eucalyptus, and they are so delightful that you could set yourself on fire and you would still sleep through that shit because you're so comfortable in your sheets from Sheets and Giggles. So make sure you head to sheetsandgiggles.com and pick you up a set today. So I don't even really know where to get started with the past week since we've recorded last with the ladies. The jury selection picked up at a rapid pace. We ended up having the entirety of the jury, well, the 12 jurors selected on Thursday and the entirety of the 6 alternates selected by Friday. So we're heading towards opening statements on Monday. Whoop-de-doo. Let's pat ourselves on the back for making it through that entire endeavor, though there were a lot of shenanigans on the way as Fox News and Trump engaged in their jury intimidation strategy to great effect, knocking one seated juror off the jury and having replaced them with someone who, well, you know, they get their news from Twitter and Truth Social. So that should give you a hint as to their potential political leanings. Not that we should necessarily make anything of that, but that's quite an alarming switch from the original juror number 2, who seemed to be at least a reasonably trustworthy and unbiased individual. We'll just have to cross our fingers and hope for the best. Hope that we didn't have someone sneak in the jury that's going to engage in a jury nullification strategy as proposed by Clay Travis. And if so, fuck that guy and the juror too. Also, just on Friday, we had an incredible event during the lunch break. There was an individual outside of the protest area who was handing out pamphlets that seemed to be indicative of belief in a number of, well, vague and not well thought out conspiracy theories, who doused himself in some kind of flammable liquid and then set himself on fucking fire right outside the courthouse. That was absolutely fucking insane. I don't think we've seen anything like that. I mean, obviously, Republicans are constantly setting themselves on fire, but typically that is of a figurative nature and not like actually setting themselves on fire. That I just like the person. So the man whose name I don't feel the need to publicize, he was Florida man, surprise, who would have thought, who made his way all the way up to New York to stand outside of the courtroom in order to self-immolate, in order to bring attention to a number of conspiracy theories that he posted about on his Substack that I also won't link to. Needless to say, this person was unstable. The police did their best in trying to rapidly address the situation, extinguish the fire, and get the man some medical attention. Yeah, they got him to the hospital, but he did not survive. And, you know, that's extremely unfortunate. And on the one hand, well, first of all, let me say that if you're an individual that's suffering from any kind of debilitating emotional distress over our current political circumstances or anything going on in your personal life to the point where you feel the need to self-harm or even in this case self-immolate, please seek some professional attention. In that regard, we don't need you going through the same thing that dude went through or anything of like lesser self-harm. Just like take care of yourself. Treat yourself. If you got to unplug from the internet for a bit, if you got to cut the news off, if you got to cut off Pardon the Insurrection, but if you got to cut off all that other shit and that's what you got to do to get yourself together, get yourself together. Like you deserve to have your mental health. It's okay to, you know, self-care is a positive. So make sure you take care of yourself. And look, we know this shit is crazy. That's why when we get on this podcast, we talk about this shit and make fun of it and make all these jokes and try and make you laugh to make it slightly more digestible so you don't lose your fucking mind. Because I know we about to. Like, as I prepare for these podcasts every week, I'm damn near pulling my hair out, So I am like the guy who set himself on fire in that regard, where I'm like, damn, am I going crazy? Do I need to get the gasoline out? No, I'm kidding. But, you know, make sure you take care of yourself. Don't let this stuff drive you to a similar place as that dude, where you feel like the only course of action is some sort of extreme act that people in the most dire of circumstances would not have undertaken. Also, look, there were reports of, and I'm sure you've heard them by now, Donald Trump falling asleep in court yet again. But not only that, as he was nodding off, it appears as though he was suffering from a severe bout of flatulence, where it was nearly unbearable for his counsel in that regard, and they were struggling to make it through the day in the courthouse there. I think we were referring to that as a bout of law and odor. You know, he was doing his best to taint the jury, at least with smell. This is just absolutely wild. I made the joke on the internet that how did you go from Don Snorleone to the Godfather in less than a week? Like, that's a fucking incredible transition. You can't make that shit up. I did not come up with the term Godfather. That's been around for quite a while. Although, Don Snorleone, that was all me. That was all your boy. But of course, we had a good laugh about that. And my friend from the Midas Touch Network, Ben Mycelis, was one of the first individuals to kind of break that story. And he had some concerns about how that was the main takeaway. Like, it achieved a level of virality from one of the videos that he had posted. And he had some concerns about that not necessarily being his intention. Like, of course, they do a lot of pertinent work in covering all the developments in the news, legal and political and otherwise. And he had some concerns that just, you know, while funny, isn't the type of information that he necessarily put out there for that particular purpose. But I would say that while maybe that particular aspect of the story did dominate the headlines, and that's not necessarily your intention, at the end of the day, one of the most important ways that you can disarm the effect that these right-wing nut jobs have in spewing their propaganda and their hold on the population is not only to discredit them with factual information, it's by turning them into a laughingstock, right? Because while it's great to kind of attack these people from a logical perspective, like, one of the things that typically happens is you engage their ideas from a frame, like from a standpoint of legitimizing the points that they make, regardless of the topic, even though a lot of their stances are patently absurd and probably unhealthy for the people with which they're feeding them to. But if you can try and approach people from a perspective that's not attacking their identity, but instead just highlighting how ridiculous and unserious these people are, and in a way that even the most staunch supporter has to kind of laugh at, like, that is your path to getting people to start to disassociate themselves from their identity being entangled with their political beliefs, or at least in terms of, like, identifying with every aspect of the Republican Party in this specific case. Like, if they can see how ridiculous that is and they can accept that, it gives them a permission structure to start questioning a number of other things about Trump, about Republicans, about the direction that the party is going, and so on and so forth. And yeah, for, like, the most brainwashed, like, Fox News consuming internet rabbit hole dwelling cult member, like, there's probably very little, if nothing, that anyone could ever do to deprogram these people. But for the more normal leaning Republican or just even right wing media consumers. Like, this stuff is, it begins to set the permission structure for them to start veering towards reality. Like, and the laughter becomes a substitute for the cognitive dissonance. And like, again, it's not an overnight cure, but it's like planting the seeds that can eventually grow into people becoming deprogrammed from the cult. But also, it's just fun for us to just get to laugh at this shit because it's fucking crazy. Like, what kind of dude is out here with his freedom on the line, falling asleep in court and sharding all over himself? And like, his lawyers are like pulling their shirts up over their noses, probably. And they in the damn courtroom looking at the judge and the jury like, damn, judge, we can't breathe. Like, help us out. Turn the fan on in here or something. Open a window, but I guess you couldn't really open a window in that case, because then you get all the smoke from the dude outside setting himself on fire. Man, this is like, what a crazy fucking week. Just absolutely insane. And this is on like the heels of a week where like OJ died, so that was bananas. It's so wild, just the extent of the nonstop craziness. But yeah, man, the Godfather. Boy, you like, whoever's going to do like the 14 season Trump series on Netflix, man, that shit is going to be unbelievable. Like, you know, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, like how people used to talk about Nixon when I was a teenager, like, no one's going to believe this shit. They're going to be like, oh, this is just reality TV. There's no way all of this ever happened. That's crazy. Like, there's no way. Just, but it's real. And that is what's so scary about a second Trump administration, because it can actually get crazier than this. And that's if that dude somehow manages to get back in the White House. But there were other developments over the course of the week and the weekend, as well as another Republican is set to announce the fact, has announced the fact that he won't be running again in November. He will be retiring at the end of his term. This guy, Representative Jake LaTourneur from Kansas, said that he's up out of there. He don't want no more of this. He's tapping out. He's like Roberto Duran, no mas. And I get it, when you look around at your caucus and these motherfuckers is crazy and they can't do basic stuff. Like, I don't know. I mean, you're a House representative. How many pieces of legislation have you passed? How many pieces of legislation has your party passed? And without the help of Democrats, I don't believe they've passed anything as a majority. So that's that is quite just absolutely sad, actually, that they're that dysfunctional. So I can see why he's heading for the exit, especially given that it appears that it's going to be a slaughter come November. And I don't mean that in like a violent sense, like the way Trump uses bloodbath. I just mean like electorally, they're going to lose by a lot. I feel like I have to specify that specifically, because, you know, while Trump's clearly been credibly accused of inciting an attack on the Capitol and then continuing to use charged language, knowing that his language can lead to that, like, ain't nothing I've ever said been responsible for no coup. So I feel like I'm off the hook here, but yet here I am explaining myself. But no, back to LaTourneur here. I would assume that given that their house majority is now with like one seat, he doesn't want to be the guy that's single-handedly responsible. Well, I mean, not single-handedly, because they had more people retire before him, but he doesn't want to be the deciding resignation that gives the majority to the Democrats in the House. And as nice as that would be for me, because I get to see the first black speaker of the House, Mr. Hakeem Jeffries, throw some flowers at his feet like he Prince Hakeem from Coming to America. I'm excited for that moment. But, you know, LaTourneur is like, yeah, I could get out of here right now, but everybody would be pissed. And, you know, one of the things about being a conservative member of Congress is you're setting up your retirement while you're at work, right? And I don't mean like the retirement package you get from Congress. I mean your next job. where you go work at some right-wing think tank or, you know, some billionaire's company doing lobbying or whatever else the fuck it is that these dudes do when they get out of here to make hundreds of millions of dollars. But everybody would be so mad at this dude if he retired that he wouldn't get one of those jobs. But I think, like, he's not going to have much choice here, because Mike Johnson managed to let a vote hit the floor of the House in order to approve sending aid to Ukraine, and the right wing nut jobs in his party was not happy. They was so mad, y'all. They was so mad. Marjorie Taylor Greene specifically has declared that she's going to do her best to make sure Mike Johnson is removed. She's got her motion to vacate with a couple of co-signers ready to go. But, you know, obviously that would be ensuing chaos that would follow that. So it appears as though they're looking to try and get Mike Johnson to announce his resignation in order to give them time to come up with a potential replacement speaker in the meantime, so they don't spend, you know, 14, 15 votes like they did with Kevin McCarthy, or the nonsense that ensued when Matt Gaetz vacated Kevin McCarthy's job last time, we're not on the, like, Mike Johnson wasn't their first choice or even their second choice. He was like choice number 9. It took him a lot of work. And then imagine like going through that same process, but even more insane because we're closer to the election and there's, you know, really they're digging at the bottom of the barrel at that point anyway. So that would be utter chaos. And I think that if Marjorie does bring up her motion to dismiss, and they get the votes in order to do so and can't find a speaker, that will spark a number of resignations on the spot by Republican members of the House, causing them to lose their majority before we even get to the election. Like, yeah, so they got a lot of things to consider. It's a lot of chaos. Like, there's a lot of war going on inter-party over there on the Republican side of things. And if you just stop and think about that for a second, like, in an election year, where have you seen this much infighting and instability and nonsense to the point where you like, damn, it's another intra-party civil war? You ain't seen that shit before. That's because they are in such a precarious predicament. This could be the potential end of their party if Biden wins again in November, if you need some motivation to turn out and vote. So keep all of those developments in mind as they coincide with the continued downfall of the Republican candidate for president, whose trial begins in earnest on Monday. I imagine the day that you'll probably be listening to this as I'm recording it, Sunday night. But yeah, opening statements time, baby. The prosecution is ready to go, even though because of Trump's continued violation of the gag order, the judge told the prosecution that they weren't obligated to turn over the list of, you know, the first few witnesses to the defense counsel, which is, you know, typically a common courtesy. We did, however, find out that the first witness will be David Pecker from AMI, who is going to go into vivid detail about the catch and kill scheme that they had in operation to help Trump stop these horrible negative stories from going out about him during the 2016 election that could have potentially tanked his chances of winning the presidency. So that's going to set the stage for the hush money deal that Trump arranged with Stormy Daniels, that he laundered the payments through his company to Michael Cohen to reimburse him for like the money Cohen spent by taking out a mortgage on his house to pay Stormy Daniels. Ain't that some convoluted shit? Like, they went through some extreme lengths there. And normally, like, and Trump's going to make the argument that, like, hey, I was just paying my lawyer. This was, you know, legal fees. But damn, what lawyer you ever seen got to take out a mortgage on his house and then you got to pay his mortgage, right? You ain't never heard of no shit like that. And that's how you know this wasn't on the up and up. But again, the prosecution will get into all the details of all of that over the next couple of weeks here, along with the secret recorded tape that Michael Cohen's lawyer released a couple years ago that showed that Trump absolutely knew about the payment arrangement and wanted to pay Stormy Daniels in all cash. But Cohen was like, wait, nah, that's going to get us busted. Let's try and be a little more, I mean, I guess I wouldn't say sophisticated given the nature of the scheme's kind of harebrained. This nigga took out a mortgage, like, what the fuck? But, and that's just like, again, this is crazy. It's some shit we never seen before. And that's not all that happened over the course of the past few days either. Remember that $175 million bond from the New York civil fraud trial that Trump was supposed to come up with? And he hit up his buddy, Mr. Hanky. These names, Pecker and Hanky, you can't make that up either. You know, the one who refinanced his Trump Tower mortgage and other shit. Like, so this guy owns a company and one of their subsidiaries, Knight Insurance, was supposed to cover Trump's bond in a New York civil fraud judgment. But apparently the bond, the nature of it, the entirety of it seems particularly shady. And once we got some of the details and the paperwork, Tish James was like, nah, son. No, no, no. Judge Ngoan, please handle this. We don't believe these dudes. They need more people. Right. And there's some sketchiness about the financials of Knight Insurance as it pertains to covering this bond. They don't appear to have enough liquidity. Even if they liquidated a number of their assets, it would be extraordinarily difficult for them to come up with the cash. Also, it doesn't appear that a bond is insured. Well, at least on in terms of Trump's part, like, he didn't put up enough collateral to cover the bond, or at least Tish James didn't believe the way that it's described in the paperwork that he did. Given that the statement about the account, the Schwab account Trump's using as collateral, containing cash and cash equivalents. What the fuck is a cash equivalent if it ain't cash? Yeah, exactly, right? You need to go into some more specific details about that. And also, it appears that in some of the paperwork, it suggests that Knight Financial, or rather Knight Insurance, won't actually be paying the bond, or rather paying the judgments should Trump should Trump lose his appeal, right? Trump will be responsible for that. That's the whole point of the fucking bond in the first place. And as we said last week, we were like, yeah, pretty sure Tish James is going to call him out on this nonsense. And she did. And I'm sure Judge Ngoan is going to look at this like, bro, you got busted for fraud. We had a trial already. And here you are trying to defraud the fucking court after you defrauded the people in New York. He's going to get hammered for that. Tish James said, hey, reject this bond. Maybe give him 7 more days to come up with another one. I don't think he'll be able to, unless Hanky's willing to actually, you know, put his ass on the line, or at least put his $175 million on the line, which clearly, the way Hanky runs his business, he ain't willing to do such. Otherwise, he would have done it with the parent company of Knight Insurance instead of Knight Insurance. But alas, we'll discover more about that tomorrow as well. It's got a lot going on in the Trump world on the first day of opening statements. It's going to be fucking wild. And again, that's not all, kids. There's even more. So it appears that taking over the RNC was not enough for his greedy ass campaign that he's using to pay his legal bills. It appears as though he has asked any candidate for office, Republican candidate that is, whether that be like state or local or federal, anyone who uses his name, image, or likeness in fundraising endeavors, sends him a 5% kickback of all the money that they raise using his name. So this dude is, I mean, you know, you gotta send 5% back to the big guy. That's what it is. He is extorting his own party. It's absolutely fucking wild. So not only is he grifting from the top down by taking his cut of the RNC before they can send their money out to their various electoral candidates, he asking candidates to send their money all the way up to him. It's just wild, man. And this is what you get when you take Marty Bird from the Ozark and then put him in the White House in real life. Look, the Republican Party is getting everything they deserve. I hope he totally bankrupts the party. That'll be fantastic, because no matter how much money he steals from these candidates, it's not going to be enough to keep his shit afloat, right? But if they don't have money to spend on their elections, how can they beat Democrats? Like, it's insane. No one talks about this. Do you know how impossible it is to win an election with no money? Like, not like you're underperforming your opponent. No, I mean, like, you're trying to win an election and you ain't got no money, because the Republican Party is broke, son. And their fundraising has faltered here lately. The RNC was broke when Trump took it over, which is crazy. Like, they already don't have any money, and then you're robbing them for what little they have left. And now you're trying to, you know, extort the little man out there in his local, you know, state house race for five. Like, this is crazy. Like, the Republican Party is doomed, son. They doomed. This is wild. Just wish the media would spend a little bit more time talking about that as well. But of course, like, you listen to this podcast, and I'm sure y'all are like, well, damn, there's so much stuff y'all miss. Why didn't y'all cover everything? You can't. You can't cover everything. It's too fucking much. It's way too much. And it's too fucking crazy. Like, again, you already forgot about the dude that set himself on fire outside the courthouse, didn't you? And the trial hasn't even really started yet. That's how fucking crazy it is. And that concludes this episode of Pardon the Insurrection.